This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tom Perriello is the congressman from the 5th District here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and he is in town and joins us live in studio. We'll take your calls, comments, and questions for Congressman Perriello at 977-1070. How are you, sir?
Good to see you. Doing well. How about yourself?
Very good. No complaints. I had a wonderful Valentine's Day. I took my daughter to Chili's, and then we watched Peter Pan.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it was a good time. I hadn't seen that movie since I was a kid. I forgot how fun it was.
Did you see some sort of political overtones in it?
I did not. I hope I wasn't supposed to, because if it's there, I missed it.
I'm fine with that.
No, what are you doing now? You're traveling around the district?
This is our district work week. We got the economic recovery package through last week, and this week I have 27 events in 7 days trying to meet with folks about the package, explain it, but also say, look, whether you were for it or against it, it's there now. How do we make it work for Central and Southern Virginia?
Yeah.
And we're getting great interaction with the elected officials and citizens groups around the district. I started today at a breakfast in Danville. Here in Charlottesville now, I've been meeting with some constituent groups, and over at the Senior Center, you may have heard, they just won the Pinnacle Award for the best senior center in the entire country on their 49th
That's incredible.
Anniversary. That was pretty
wow.
great.
And that is amazing.
And
I love
it was
my bill.
Such a it was an incredibly important place for my grandparents, Tom and Reba Galuli, in their later years. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for people in this community to have a place to go. Seniors,
absolutely.
To socialize, to travel together, to invest together. I mean, it really is just an incredible thing to have the Senior Center here in Charlottesville. So I just want to congratulate them on their 49th anniversary and, more importantly, their national recognition.
Yeah, that's really something, the best senior center in the country. One of the reasons this is such a wonderful place to live. So tell us what you're saying to folks when you go around the district about this stimulus package. What is it that, from your perspective behind the scenes of, you know, one of the few folks in America who actually got to vote on this thing, what does it mean for the nation? What does it mean for the 5th District?
I think it's an incredibly important step to get some relief to the middle class and get some job creation going, particularly in infrastructure and clean energy. Just the energy component of this alone is the most serious investment in alternative energy this country has ever made. So we need to be thinking not just how do we get through this crisis, but how do we start to rebuild America's competitive advantage over the next 10 years? So there's a lot of mythology out there about it, but really about 40% of it is tax cuts to the middle class. About 40% is grants to states and localities to help get through the budget crunch. A lot of that is school grants and Medicaid and 33-week extension of unemployment benefits and the like. And then the remaining about 20% is infrastructure and clean energy. And so, you know, I think that what most people understand is when you have a $2 trillion contraction of the national economy, something we've never seen before, that urgent action was taken. And it's pretty rare to get Congress to act in 5 weeks at this scale. And I think it's an important investment in Main Street and the middle class.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to solve everything. We need to get to work on looking at the housing crisis and bankruptcy. And I think those are some things we can do that aren't a matter of spending money, but a matter of trying to get some accountability in the system and addressing some of the root causes.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. I was talking with somebody the other day who was complaining that there was spending in this bill. And from what I understand about the Great Depression, isn't that exactly what we're supposed to be doing? I mean, isn't that what historians and economists have told us? That's what got us out. That's what gets any major economy out of a depression is huge public spending projects. And call it what you want, whatever you want to call it. But when government infuses the economy with lots of money and helps grease the wheels and get credit moving again, and isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
It's certainly part of the equation, but not all spending is alike. I mean, there's some things where you get $1.80 back on the dollar and others where you get 20 cents back on the dollar. I think the bulk of what we had here are, one, things that are going are direct payments that have at least a 100% stimulatory effect. Some of the things that have been complained about the most, like Medicaid and the school spending, are guaranteed to be spent. But then you also want to be looking at job creation. Some of the things that were more successful in the Great Depression were some of the works programs that had built into them requirements of expedited expenditure. So what we want to do is make sure that we are building the bridges that need to be built and not the bridges to nowhere. And I think as long as we do that, Americans understand that we're 30 years behind on infrastructure anyway, and we desperately need jobs. Why isn't this the time that we would do the things, frankly, that the Congress should have been doing for the last 30 years, but we're sitting on their hands? Let me just say one other thing on that. I mean, one of the things to keep in mind is one of the biggest supporters of this bill was the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's not a group that's always aligned with the Democratic Party. But they are looking at an economy we've never seen before, and they are saying this is the right approach, the right combination of tax cuts with spending to get the economy going again. I think everyone would agree when you hit a moment like this, that's when you want to have done everything right before. You want to go into a crisis with a surplus. You want to go into it with a strong U.S. dollar. But we weren't there. We were in having turned a surplus into one of the worst deficits or the worst deficit in history. And that makes us very fragile going into a recovery. And that's why we're having to do some of the things we're doing.
Is there a lot of pork in the bill? We keep hearing folks complaining that this is just a big pork bill, that the Democrats have just filled it with all their little pet projects and that it's not really going to help the economy.
Well, there's not a single earmark in the bill. It was an unprecedented effort to do something like this without Congress people being able to say, I want this project or that project. Even some of the things people have heard about, like the light rail from L.A. to Vegas, which actually probably would be a job creator, isn't in the bill. There was simply increased light rail, and that's one project that may come from this. We're putting a lot of faith.
So there's not a specific spending item in that bill that would add light rail from L.A. to Vegas.
That's right.
That's one of the myths.
So we are in a situation where, you know, there are a lot of things in the project that I would be more than happy to put my name on that would be earmarks, but we didn't get to put them in the bill. That's why really this process has only begun. It's going to be our state officials, our local officials that are making some of the decisions about which infrastructure projects go forward. So it was really an unusual effort, and I assure you that many of my elder colleagues in the Congress were not pleased with the idea of not being able to attach earmarks in the bill, particularly those who had Republican governors in their states and felt like, well, why on earth am I going to hand a bunch of money over in that way? But at the end of the day, I think cooler heads prevailed. And one of the great things is, even though bipartisanship was kind of a failure in Washington, it hasn't been at the state and the local level. I'm having great working relationships with Republican elected officials throughout the Fifth, and I think you've seen Republican governors and mayors come out for this. The line right now is not Republican or Democrat. It's people who are serious about solving the problem versus people, you know, trying to score points. And I think most of us right now understand that urgency demands coming together on this.
What is this about Nancy Pelosi? And you had a showdown with Nancy Pelosi? Or what happened?
I did. One of the things we did last week was we made a pledge on Tuesday that the final version of the bill would be posted on the internet for 48 hours before the final vote. And lo and behold, on Friday, we decided to change the rules. And I mean, I don't like to think of myself as Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, but I said, hey, we decided to put this on the web. We should stick to it. And they wanted to get the thing through quickly. So I voted with the Republicans on that. And, you know, I think some of that's just the integrity point that if we say we're going to do something, we should do it. But I also just believe that when citizens have a chance to see our democracy in action, as ugly as it may be, we're better off. In the first round, you had sod on the mall and contraceptions. We put it on the internet. We took that stuff out of the bill. Funny thing about that, we then put an amendment on to get rid of those things that the Republicans have been complaining about, and the Republicans all voted to keep it in the bill because they like the political points of having it in there. So to me, I'm going to try to vote my conscience on these things, and you should do that. You know, for us as legislators, we get to follow along in real time. We've been reading it for 6 weeks. Every time there's a change in the negotiations, we get updated by email or caucus meeting. So, you know, we follow it along. But I think, again, it's really, really important for the average citizen to be able to see that, too. And so I broke with the party on that, as I did with the bailout vote a few weeks earlier.
Yeah. Take us behind the scenes. What have the past few weeks been like? I mean, do you get phone calls? Hey, Tom, you know, we need you to do this or do that. What is it really like on the Hill when you're working on this thing?
Well, one thing that's encouraging is that there is actually a lot of debate. It doesn't tend to happen on the floor, which is more theatrics with big signs and grand gestures. But in the caucus meetings, in one-on-one meetings, you know, you really do get a chance to see, get to know your colleagues and get to share ideas. frankly, there were a lot of disagreements on this bill about how to go about the recovery. I think the House, for example, would have put much more into infrastructure and less into some of the other spending than the White House. Their economic theory felt like you take all the programs and you fund them to the extent that they can get things out into the community quickly. Both are different economic theories. We fought that out. So the end product had a little more on infrastructure and science. So, you know, that debate goes on, and it's been good to see. I think the depressing thing to see is, you know, initially we did all these bipartisan events with the freshmen, all these newly electeds, and had so much great camaraderie. You know, as the weeks went on with the stimulus vote, I couldn't even get meetings with them because I wanted to have questions, and I wasn't about pressuring anyone. I had mixed feelings about the recovery, but the conversations just stopped. And I talked to a couple of them on Friday after we voted and said, you know, let's make an effort when we get back next week to reconnect because, you know, the leadership started to define the dynamics too much.
Interesting. So the new folks on the Hill were – From your perspective, we're eager to reach across the aisle, and then the leadership quashed that and said, no, we're not going to be doing any of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. For the last 10 or 15 years, the Republicans have complained about unfunded mandates, the fact that the federal government demands a lot of localities and doesn't fund it, like No Child Left Behind. And I think that there's a lot of validity to those arguments. Well, this bill, a lot of it is funding of unfunded mandates, which is something they've been for. And people who just a few weeks ago were saying we need to do more of that, you know, were suddenly rejecting that idea now in the context. So, again, I think the positive thing to focus on, though, is how different the dynamic's been with mayors and with governors and with local superintendents, boards of supervisors, et cetera. People don't have to agree on the grand theory to say, okay, we got people in our communities that are hurting. We have people losing jobs. We have people who have a chance to go back to school under this bill, who have a chance to get some help. I'm all about helping the people. When at the local level, folks have to look into the eyes of that, and that's why I think there's a lot of integrity at that local level and a lot of ability to work together. So there's some depressing things about the first 5 weeks, but some really hopeful things as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have thought, for example, as a freshman, that I'd be able to write a bill my first or my second week and have it become law by my fifth week.
Tell us about that, because that's legislation. your first proposed legislation actually was folded into this package.
It was, and it was something that came out of listening to so many stories on the campaign trail this past year. It's a $2,500 tuition tax credit for folks in the middle and working class who have kids in college. It'll apply starting with the current semester for 2009 and 2010. It'll also help the displaced worker who isn't going to get a job for the next year but could pick up a few community college courses if they could afford it and maybe be able to reenter the workplace or start to think about a new career in healthcare or nursing.
So this is a federal tax credit. So it says you don't have to pay $2,500 to the federal government if you're spending $2,500 on a college education.
That's right. Well, 1,000 of it's refundable, 2,500 as a credit. And basically, you know, what I heard so much of on the trail was, I've always dreamed of my kid being able to go to college, but we can't afford it. I heard of workers who said, look, I want to go and I feel like I could become a nurse practitioner or get into physical training if, you know, I could just take a couple of these courses, but I can't afford it. We also built in the ability to count textbooks and other ancillary costs. Because if you're living on the margins out of work, that can be the difference between affording or not affording that education and job training. So this was something, and economists agree that an economic downturn is a smart time to invest in education and skills training because you want to prepare that workforce for the upswing. So this is smart economics. I think it's smart relief to the middle class, and it helps those who've gotten the dreadful news of being laid off. So, you know, that got included in the recovery package, and it's something that I had a friend yesterday who's going back to try to get a master's degree. A friend down in Danville who wants to go back and take two courses at Danville Community College. This is going to affect their lives in a very real way.
It is now about 5 minutes before the hour of 5 o'clock. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. He is live in studio. Tom, before we let you go, what do you think this whole package now that's likely to be, tell us first the timeline. When does this become law? And get this thing on the ground for us here in the 5th District. What does this mean for Central Virginia?
Well, Obama signed it today, I believe, so it is law.
Or will be when he signs it.
Some of the effects are immediate. We tried to get as much as of the school funding as possible to be formula-driven directly to localities without going through the middleman in Richmond. We won about half that battle. So Charlottesville and Albemarle County know right now how many millions of dollars, and I think it's quite a few million, will come into their budgets. Now, they still have tough decisions to make, and I don't envy their choices, but they're going to be a lot easier because of this recovery. You're going to see fewer teachers laid off, and you're going to see schools not closed. We have counties in the district that we're going to close schools that aren't now because of the recovery. So some of it's going to be immediate. There's a 33-week extension of unemployment benefits. We have people who've worked their whole lives and are out on the curb now, and this is a chance to help them out. Those programs will be immediate. There are others that are going to go through the process in Richmond because Richmond's got to decide what it's going to do now with the amount we've given it. The word from the governor is it's going to be enough to make up their renewed negative investments. And I think that goes to another point here, which is, you know, we're still in this for probably another 18 months at least. What we can do is make this a little less painful and build the conditions to start the rebound. And I think that's what we're looking at is really responsible action. I'm not going to win votes for this vote. But it was the right thing to do in a crisis. And I think what we'll see over time is that we have the power to make this work or fail, depending on whether we can do the weatherization, do the investments in energy efficiency. Can we unleash a modern electric grid that puts us at the forefront of the new energy economy? This is a down payment on that, and I think it shows a tremendous amount of leadership to get it through at this rate.
Tom Perriello is the congressman from the 5th District of Virginia, joined us live in studio. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.